say I'm not for the sleeping ban being lifted at all.
Okay. Any particular discussion on that?
Well, I think basically that, you know, it, like you were saying, I think it does attract people from other towns and adds to the problem rather than solves it.
Mm-hmm. Are you from Santa Cruz yourself?
Yes,
a long time.
I've actually lived here all my life.
Uh-huh. Did you hear the interview with Jana Riley from
Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah,
actually I did, and the funny thing about that is I was just in Fort Lauderdale over last summer,
uh-huh.
and I didn't see quite as many homeless people as I see around Santa Cruz and the Pacific Garden Mall.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of like a moot point to say that they let them sleep anywhere when there's really not very many, if any, there. You know, it was mostly college students and working class folks.
So when were you in Fort Lauderdale, Valor?
I think it was June of last year.
Uh-huh. They actually, Fort Lauderdale had a tent city where I guess homeless people were gathered 100 or 200 strong at that time. Did you ever make it to the tent city?
Well, I don't think it was actually on my point of attraction to see in Florida.
No, I realize that. But see, that's the reason you didn't see so many people, because there was really a regulated campground for them to go to.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility, definitely. But maybe in Florida they can support that kind of thing, but, you know, Fort Lauderdale is actually kind of a much bigger town than Santa Cruz is.
Fort Lauderdale is a bigger town. It is true, although it's certainly not as big as Miami, which is a similar situation. And San Francisco is interesting contrast there.
I'm wondering if you think, you know, I feel like if the homeless folks went up in the hills and had tents, I don't think the cops are going to go trounce out there and bust them down. It's the fact that they want to be in places that are populated that causes the problem.
You mean be in places or camp in places?
Both. Camp in places, definitely.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they're going to be in places where they're a nuisance, then no one's going to want them. But I'm sure if they wanted to go up into the Santa Cruz Mountains and do their thing up there, no one would ever bother them.
Well, you know, there's truth in that, and then there's also some, I think, some misconceptions, too, because a lot of the harassment of homeless people happens in the, you know, by Parks and Rec Rangers in the undeveloped areas of the city. And so that they are bothered in those areas. Now, I know if you're talking about in the county, it actually, I want to concede to you that it's theoretically legal for people to sleep on public property in the county, though I'm not quite sure what percentage of the county is actually public. I mean, we're talking a lot of private property. But the actual way that deputies treat homeless people is similar to the way Santa Cruz City Police treat homeless people, which is like shit.
Well, I mean, there's places where deputies and rangers just don't go. I mean, I'm sure if I went out tonight, grabbed a sleeping bag, and crashed out on a mountain somewhere, no one would bug me, you know?
Well,
I'm sure I could find a spot where if I wasn't bothering anybody, no one would bother me.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, you have a lot of resources that you're coming from. Let's suppose you've been homeless for a while, sick for a while. I mean, do you think that your situation is equivalent to that of the average homeless person?
Are you talking about right now?
Yeah.
Of course not. Of course not. But, you know, it takes a long time to get where I am. You know, it in this society, you kind of just have to go one thing at a time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm a business owner, and as a matter of fact, I even hired a homeless guy.
Uh-huh.
And,
good for you.
And I'll tell you what, he was a great guy, and I actually got him into a home, you know.
Good for you.
You know, and he was just a guy that was down on his luck. But he told me, you know, he said, there's a lot of these people, they don't want to work. They're pretty happy with the way it is, you know. They're pretty happy, you know, with the status quo, come in, get my free soup, get my free blanket, go wherever they tell me to go, come back, go down to the mall, panhandle, go back to the shelter. And it's their lifestyle. And, you know, they're not willing to change it. And, this is not my opinion. This is what another homeless guy who basically...
Well, frankly, I'm more interested in your opinion than his, because, I mean, if I had him on the air, I'd be interested in his opinion.
Right.
And because he's homeless doesn't mean he's any less bigoted or prejudiced.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, what I got from his, from working with him, you know, what happened is I wound up saying, hey, you know what, this job here would pay you more than I can. He was a carpenter that I think he had some alcohol problems, and he wound up getting a couple DUIs and wound up, you know, that's an expensive thing, and wound up losing out.
Well, have you had any friends who were evicted from their homes because, you know, of economic problems?
Hey, I've been evicted from economic problems. It's not easy to live in Santa Cruz, and
uh-huh.
believe me, I have sympathy for people that can't. But on the other hand, I don't think, you know, in this society, you can't expect to not follow the rules of the society and then expect society to back you.
Well, but do you think that your problems all came from not following the rules of the society? I mean,
there's a rule. It's like, if I want to live where I live, I'm going to have to pay the rent. If I don't pay the rent, the society or whoever the laws are basically going to say you have to go find another place to live because you can't live here.
So what if the landlords hike up the rents everywhere? So
they do.
Well, do you think that that's...
I've had my rent hiked twice since I've lived in this apartment.
But don't you think people have a right to live just to start with? I mean, they may not have a right to all kinds of free services, but for example, don't you have a right to sleep at night without being arrested?
Well, no, I don't think so, because I think you're infringing on other people if you're going to be sleeping close to their homes, close to their businesses, close to, you know, if you want to go sleep up in the hills, you can go find a nice place up in the hill and sleep. And I don't think anyone is going to bust you. And if someone does, then, you know, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. But I don't believe that everybody should just be able to just camp out and sleep wherever the hell they want.
Well, I don't think, I tend to agree with you that there should be areas, legal areas, where people can sleep. I don't know about the hill. I mean, this mythical area in the hills, I'd like to, you know, you just point that out to us where we can all go up in
the
hills.
Well, heck, I know where there's caves right off of UCSC. You could go way down in one of those caves and actually even...
I'm going to have to get you to give me a map.
Okay. I used to go spelunking in these caves, and I mean, they go down forever, and they're huge. I mean, you got it. They're kind of scary down there, and I wouldn't want to live down there, but hey, if I didn't have any place to go, that's exactly where I'd be.
Well, I guess we differ. I tend to believe that everyone has a right, for example, to be able to be in a public place if they're not being abusive. Everyone should have a right to sleep at night if they're not trespassing or creating a mess. And that, you know, you cannot make it illegal to do that.
But that's the thing, though, I think, is that a lot of these homeless folks, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but a lot of them are nuisances, and a lot of them do create a mess.
Well, but see, that's punishable by other laws. You don't need to have a law against sleep to punish that.
But don't you feel like if you give everybody the right to do anything they want, whenever they want.
Now remember, anything they want, whenever they want, I would not support under any circumstances. But the right to sleep at night, if you're not harassing or bothering anybody else, I would have to feel that's a basic right.
I tend to differ, just because of the fact that, you know, for one, I think there's that magnetism thing. I really do believe that's true. If you say Santa Cruz is an open area where you can sleep any wherever you want or wherever your zones are and stuff, it's going to attract people. You know, you find that there's some towns that attract homeless folks and some that don't, and you got to wonder why.
Well, you know, again, I've spoken to four cities today. I called up four different cities: Santa Barbara, Eugene, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami. And I asked that question in each of those cities where, for different times in the past, they suspended their laws against sleeping. And in each case, they told me that there was no significant rise in the number of homeless people. Most of the homeless people, they say, came from people who live in the area but are poor, you know, just stay there because they got drug problems, they got mental problems, they're poor. And then there's a certain, you know, there's a smaller number of gypsies who kind of move around, but there was no big input. And I tend to have to believe them because, you know, I mean, they're there, I'm here, you know.
But
I'm
like in Santa Barbara, I was just down there not too long ago either. If I saw two homeless people all day long in that whole area of Santa Barbara and Isla Vista and all that, it would have been a shock, because their streets are clean and they just don't have it. I mean, that's a very rich area.
They hide.
Well, I guess they hide.
They hide.
But in Santa Cruz, it seems like they're everywhere.
They should be hiding more in Santa Cruz?
Pardon?
You think they should be hiding more in Santa Cruz?
Well, let me just be honest. I feel like, you know, when I go downtown, mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of unemployed steel workers down there. I see a lot of people that just seem like they've just thrown in the towel, mm-hmm. you know? And not that it's like that they're urban blight or I don't like to look at it, but I personally, you know, I've talked to different customers that I've had and stuff, older folks, people with kids, and it scares them away. They don't want to go downtown because they feel like they're being encroached upon in ways, you know, they're afraid to be panhandled. They're afraid that somebody's going to come up to them and be weird to them.
Well, let me ask you, how's your business doing this year?
It did pretty well. It's doing good.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have a storefront. I'm a contractor, so I'm everywhere.
I see. Do we know each other, by the way?
I don't think so.
Well, I really appreciate your calling in. I encourage you to call in again. We obviously disagree, but I appreciate your being candid enough to call in and what is obviously, you know, you're a lone voice, but you're certainly, you know,
I'm all for everybody, you know, getting out and being able to accomplish things.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to admit to me that there's a certain percentage, and a large percentage of the homeless population no matter what happens, that's where they're going to be. That's where they're going to stay. They don't have the either the mental ability, the physical ability, or whatever, to ever move to the next level.
You know, I don't know if I agree with that, but even if I did, I wouldn't agree they should be arrested for sleeping.
I don't think that they should be let sleep. I mean, I don't know what you're proposing as far as where they can sleep.
An industrial zone.
Pardon?
An industrial zone.
But you know, what if you're somebody who owns a business in an industry? Do you really want to be stepping over homeless people on the way into work in the morning?
Well, you set it up so that doesn't happen. But it's in that zone somewhere that people have a right to sleep, and maybe they have to leave during the day, but they have the right to sleep there at night. I'm going to move on, caller, but please call me again.
All right.
Thank you.
First of all, I would like to say a word or two.
Tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM, and I guess a caller was trying to reach me during the song, and please call back. Your call number is 427-3772. Not to wait any longer.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi. And I was intrigued by the last person you were talking to.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if he's this majority. I heard Keith Sugar say that the city is getting, the city council members are getting calls 100-1. In other words, 100, I guess, for stoning for every one call they get for confession.
Oh, I can't. Have you heard that today from Keith Sugar?
He said that to me.
Well, you know, I talked to the city council's staff person, Anna, who I've been pretty regularly, and the calls in favor of modifying the sleeping or repealing the sleeping banners still outnumbered those in favor of not changing it by, I think it was 30-20 or something.
Okay, well, for me, 100-1, 10-1, the message would be the same. The message I would get is people are going off half-cocked like the person you last talked to, the last call-in. You know, the thing that stood out as I was listening to him, I've been a business owner, I've been a homeowner, and I've been homeless, I've been a homeless mother, and I'm really trying to be open-minded here, but he made it sound like he can tell by looking at someone that they're homeless. And maybe I'm just getting fed up, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Get fed up, it's okay.
But being drunk in public is not homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
It's unruliness or drunkenness. You know, getting hostile when you panhandle and nobody responds, they shun you, which I don't blame them. I've been on both sides of that coin myself. That's not homelessness. That's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just across the board, everything people mention about what they don't like about homeless people, they're not talking about homelessness. It's certainly not talking about being asleep.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know,
right.
At today's meeting, there was a suggestion, I thought it was a good one, that the city council members who are that task force reviewing the camping ordinance, that they all do a ride along with the police so they can get a feel for how much people living in vehicles there are in the city. And I think that's a great idea if they time it right, but of course, if you cruise through a neighborhood and someone's asleep, you can't tell if someone's asleep in a vehicle from if no one's in a vehicle.
Yeah, well,
it's only if they're awake getting ready for bed that it would mean anything.
Well, frankly, I thought that all these suggestions that were being made today were so much horseshit, I got to tell you, pretty much. I mean, there may have been a glimmer of substance in one or two of them, but it seemed to me the key point was that this city council is refusing to talk about the sleeping ban. And that really is the only issue that we wanted them to really get into. And that, and they were willing to talk about everything else. Actually, they wouldn't talk about shelter either, really. They'd come up with a few palliatives about they're going to have an extra late night pickup at the Armory, and that's good, you know, so people can go up to the Armory late with their jobs.
I have a slightly different take on it. I have the same concerns, but this is how I'm seeing it.
Right.
They're willing to be reactive, responsive to the specific, egregious things they hear from people, but they're basically standing square in the corner of the majority voice in this community.
Oh, I don't think
and
it's a majority voice.
And they even know.
I
well, you were
you.
Saying more than 10 to 1. Bear with me. Let me at least finish what I'm saying.
I didn't say 10 to 1.
You said the calls from
no,
around 30 to 1.
No, I said the calls outnumbered. Those favoring keeping the sleeping ban were the calls out favored changing the sleeping ban outnumbered those who favored... let me say it one more time. I'm confused here. Those who favored changing the ban were in the 30s, 34, 35, compared
mm-hmm.
with those who favored keeping the ban as it is, which were in the 20s. So they, we were still ahead by about 10 calls when I last talked to them.
And which camp are, I mean...
In other words, people who want to change the sleeping ban are ahead. People who want to keep it as it is and make sleep a crime are behind on phone calls.
Okay, I'll take it as just a liberal algebra here.
I mean, now, it is true that the number of letters are about 10 to 1. The letter writing, we are outnumbered 10 to 1. These people have got a real good letter writing campaign going, no question about it.
Will they have desks and pencils and warm places to put
pencils,
their stuff?
They got computers,
they
and they got, you know, email and everything else.
It's a little easier.
But presumably some of us do, too, and it would be nice for folks out there, if you are sitting around and you have a spare phone, give a call at the city council at 420-5020.
And if you
push
have to move
hang on a second, hang on. Push the one key, and then you can just tell them, yes, I favor ending the sleeping ban. No, I don't want the task force to run around and deal with trivialities, but to deal with the reality of people who are sleeping at night but are under the threat of getting arrested. And no, it's not good enough to say that person might be a panhandler so we can arrest him and, you know, put him in jail for sleeping. No, I'm sorry, that's not good. I can't accept that.
There's just no correlation. As long as most of the people in this town, no matter how you bark the numbers, most of the people in this town can't tell sleeping from reading, can't tell homelessness from some sort of outrageous manic attack in public. You know, as long as they're that ignorant about it, those opinions need to be aired out. The people who are that ignorant need to come to understand simple human things like what it means to go to sleep. I mean, somewhere deep inside of them, if they're human beings, they know. They need to get their mind connected with something real.
It'd be nice. Last caller didn't sound that way to me, and I...
Well, it did sound like from where he's coming from, he has made overtures to connect with people who are homeless.
That's
I
true.
Don't know if he hired this guy he spoke of because he was homeless, or if, like most employers, he found out the guy was homeless later when he was wanting overtime or something, and then that made you miss the bus to a place up in the hills to sleep.
I don't know, but I'm gonna move on, caller, unless there's more
no,
you want
to
say.
No, I'm not done. I'm not anywhere near done. Sorry. I wanted to also react to something he said. The idea of just sending people, ostracizing them out into the wilderness like something, like they're not humans or something, or they're ready to die. You know, that is just as much of an ecological impact, ultimately, because everyone's going to end up on that mountaintop, a majority of people, as having them somewhere in town. You know, I mean, I'm not going to hide. I have a 23-year-old son who has two jobs on the mall, and he works almost full-time at both of them. He can't afford housing here, and he'd lose his jobs if he went up and lived where the Hicks family lives on top of a mountain. He wouldn't have any work. So it's not, I mean, it's an equation that doesn't wash out.
I think the caller was irrational in a number of ways. I mean, I think,
I don't think he was irrational. I think he was ignorant. And it's easy to keep those kind of being ignorant thoughts intact when you're surrounded with people who are also coming from an uninformed place. But if we want this law changed, we need to focus less on a little subcommittee of the city council who is under public pressure and more on that general public, like the man who just called.
Mm-hmm.
They really need to wake up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm done.
Well, thank you, Linda. I think that was eloquently put, and I do recognize you, and I appreciate it. Please call in again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, the phone lines are open again for all you phone hounds who want to hound me and ring my bells, so to speak. Up, oh, there we go.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes, I wanted to add that people who wanted to contact City Council and do have a computer, the email address is citycouncil@cruzio.com.
Is that City Council or is it City CNSCL?
It is CNCL.
So it's so citycncl@cruzio.com.
Yeah, I'll spell it out. CITYCNCL@cruzio.com.
Okay, well, thank you very much, caller.
And that fax line,
yes,
for all of those wealthy free radio listeners who have fax machines and want to fax the old city council, it's 420-5011.
Thank you.
And of course, to call the city council, it's 420-5020, and then push the one key to put your message, I hope your message is in the sleeping band, into the voicemail boxes of each city council member. Our phone line is 427-3772. Keep calling if you get a busy signal.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Can you hear me okay?
Speak up a little bit.
Okay, is this better?
That's better.
We have a weak connection. I'm in a payphone.
Okay.
I'm calling specifically in response to the gentleman who called a short while ago who was the contractor who was against people sleeping outside.
Yes.
I think that he was kind of giving a stereotypical view of people who are homeless and not really for one reason or another. By the way, I agree with you. I appreciate his view that he called in and shared it with us. I think that he's not considering, and he should think to himself, and anyone who thinks along those lines, what about people who are involuntarily homeless? The mentally disabled who really can't get it together for themselves. The physically disabled, who are, for one reason or another, are no longer, because of a disability, able to work in society. And what about the battered woman who is forced out of her home and has no place to live? And the children. And I think the caller is speaking of his own personal view and not really looking at things as a whole, statistically, as they really are factually, that are the biggest population of homeless, the children. They are now the number one populace of homeless people. And they're followed by women and men. And in terms of men, one-third of all men that are homeless are veterans. Many of them have physical and mental disabilities from the wars. So what do we do? Do we say, I'm sorry, you married the wrong guy and he beat you up, so too bad you can't sleep. Even though you have nowhere to go, you can't sleep. And I'm not saying go anywhere, but we all know that this community does not have anywhere near the amount of housing shelter space to accommodate the people who are homeless, nor does anyone else. But speaking about Santa Cruz specifically, and we can't say, well, you can't afford to live here now because you lost your job, or you got injured and now you can't work, or your husband beat you out of the house, and you can't afford to live here, so move somewhere else. Well, A, that's unconstitutional. You can't make a person leave their roots. And B, it's expensive everywhere.
True enough, caller.
I'm rambling, I hope not. Are you still with me?
I am still with you. It's kind of hard because you're really a week, but I think we were able to get your signal on. Is there anything you want to add before we leave you?
Just to tell you that I'm Eleanor.
Yeah, I remember Eleanor.
And I have a lot more to say to you on the issue, but I won't take up your time now. We can speak at another time. But I felt the need, I felt compelled to respond to this person because the person is just picking out some people that he sees that are distasteful and doesn't realize the huge population of people who aren't dirty looking, people who aren't panhandling, people who aren't just hanging around or need a shave, that are really out there and are being woken and not just ticketed. And I don't think it's a matter of just the ticketing and the arresting. I think they shouldn't be woken because it's bad enough out there. And my heart cries for all of the people who are out in this cold overnight. I think it's just deplorable that they have to be out there, that there isn't a safety net in our community that is so rich to not take care of these people. We have the money for it. But worse than that is to be punitive towards them, to want to hurt them more because they're in trouble. To me, that's the hard part for me to deal with. My God, it's bad enough to be out there and to be cold and to be ostracized and to be alienated, but then to be woken and then to be lived with further fear, I think it's horrendous. And I pity the people who are making these decisions and who cast these votes when they have to meet their maker.
You know, Eleanor, is it okay if we talk about what your situation is, or would you rather not?
I'd rather. Okay.
Let me do that myself because it's so hard to maintain this connection. But try calling again. Maybe we can get a better payphone, or certainly we'd like to have you in the studio as a guest at some point if you'd like.
Oh, thank you. I'd love that. I listen to you all the time, Robert, and this is the first time, as you know, I'm injured. And so this is the first time that I was in a position where I was strong enough to be able to get to a phone and talk with you at the time.
You actually live in a vehicle and you actually get around through a wheelchair, right?
Yes, I'm very disabled, injured on the job, and I guess you'd say I'm just one of these throwaway people in society.
And you're one of those people who'll never make it. I mean, they're going to be homeless all their lives. We know that.
Except for the fact that I was 50 years old when this happened to me.
Right.
And I lived quite nicely and paid my way and paid fat rents all my life and didn't begrudge it, really loved it, and felt real good about myself and did real well until I got injured on my job.
What job was that, Eleanor?
In the healthcare field.
Uh-huh.
Nursing. And here in Santa Cruz, and because we have a deplorable workers' comp system that allows insurance companies to stonewall individuals that are clear-cut cases like mine, here I am. And I live with the fact that the very people that I have served, the very people that I have voted for, and the very people who would smile on me on the street because I don't look homeless, really would like it if I would just not exist anymore. And as far as going out of town, personally, I'd love to, but I can't,
because my case is here, I was injured here, my doctors are here, I'm stuck. So I don't know what that caller would suggest a person like me to do, or anyone in my situation, but if they've got something construction, anybody out, and something constructive to offer anyone out there, I would just ask them to please call you and let you know if there's a solution for someone like me.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Okay, bye-bye.
And our phone lines are ringing off the hook here. I guess we'll go to the next call.
Hi there, it's Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, it's so good to hear Eleanor and get real on this issue. You know, it sort of puts some of us in shame with the things we struggle with and waste our energy on. It seems that we have... you know, lots of endorsing organizations. SCAN now has sent a letter formally signed by Nora Hockman to the task force. And SCAN has requested in his newsletter that people, all those people out there that belong to SCAN who are participating in either phoning in or writing in or whatever action you're taking, you are to report those actions to SCAN. Phone 458-9425. 458-9425. And also sign up for some of the new tasks. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David.
It's kind of ironic because SCAN is the organization that got these new council members elected, and now the new council members are turning their backs on homeless people. Interestingly enough, a letter I presented to the task force today was from Dr. Alan Reeser, director of the Broward Outreach Center in Miami, actually near Miami, in Hollywood, Florida. He wrote a letter to buyers which read, "Let me commend you and your city commission for your attention to the issues of homelessness. They are both serious and important to the whole range of interests represented in the community. Usually it is exceptionally difficult to arrive at community consensus on these issues, but even the process is important. It could be a vehicle to join the community in collaborative efforts to address the issues in the most productive way. Our experience in South Florida has not shown that humane treatment of homeless people results in any increase in the numbers of people who present themselves for services. In fact, most homeless people continue to live in the same area in which they became homeless, and only a relatively small group are transient. However, I would add that in South Florida we have linked more humane laws with extensive efforts to meet the core needs, not simply the superficial needs of food and lodging, to address the problem in a holistic way. While you cannot legislate an end to homeless unjust legislation, or while you cannot legislate an end to homeless, unjust legislation is a source of increased human misery. Please let me encourage you to treat our fellow citizens who suffer homelessness in the same way we want ourselves or our friends to be treated should we or they fall victims to this unfortunate condition." Dr. Alan Reeser, Director of Broward Outreach Center. And let's hear what Dr. Reeser had to say in a phone interview I had with him this afternoon.
Happen. The fact is that the very people who complained about us are now our strongest supporters and have both times gone to the city commission and asked us. We just had 100% a unanimous decision with the city commission to expand the number of our services because they know it's not going to bring in a bunch more people. It's simply going to continue to reduce those who are destitute in our community. So I mean quite the opposite.
And you also have your community
that likes to be homeless, which are really the people you're most worried about, are going to leave because if they know that somebody's going to say, look, you know, you should really be taking advantage of this wonderful service that's being offered, they don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to find someplace else. You don't have to legislate people away. You just have to, you know, sort of love them away. Mm-hmm. If you are in their face and you've got good outreach workers who really care about people going out there saying, you shouldn't be sleeping out here on the street, come, I have a place for you. Anybody that wants to be sleeping out there on the street is either going to come in or else they're going to go away because you'll kill them with kindness.
What do you do with people who are, you know, who are, let's say, mobile in vehicles but poor, or people who, a lot of people don't want to go to shelters because, frankly, shelters are in many cases in big cities unsafe places.
Well, you have to regulate the shelters. I mean, Dade County did, and we have, too, established criteria for shelters. And making sure that they are fit and that they are safe and that they're therapeutic and that they provide a full range of case management, that they're linked to social services. And it's making an impact. I mean, you know, we're returning 30, 40 people in the last 6 months back into employment and into independent living. So, you know, I mean, what's that do? Well, that builds your tax base. It builds your base. You're taking somebody that was a drain on society and turning them into an asset. But you have to have that mindset. It's not a matter that homeless people are a problem. It's an issue that homeless people have been excluded from the community. How do we reintegrate them as productive members of the community?
Now, this change that happened, as I understand it, by talking to other service providers, actually came about because a judge essentially ruled that it is unlawful for governments and police departments to deny homeless people basic civil rights, that is to say, life-sustaining activities can't be punished with jail. And as a consequence, and tell me if I got this chronology wrong, or this is in this statement, homeless people were, you know, essentially told they could, the authorities were told they can't arrest people for sleeping, for instance, or for showering, or for putting up a tent, let's say, doing life-sustaining activities, and as a consequence, jurisdictions had to engage in social service solutions. Is this accurate?
There's a caveat in there.
Okay.
They can arrest them if that person, if there is an available shelter bed,
right,
and that person refuses to go to it.
But what I'm saying is that when this decision happened,
yes,
didn't this provoke authorities, because they indeed wanted to get rid of homeless people on their streets, to essentially significantly increase their social service spending?
And it has reaped huge benefits for Dade County, have been recipients of about $45 million of federal funding, because they do have a very good program together. And I mean, the federal government's got money for people who are doing the right thing.
Let me ask you just sort of a second.
Money in the community. I mean, our community, our county commission voted unanimously with 56% by polls of the general public supporting an additional penny a gallon gas tax, which is generating about $6 million a year for us to improve the quality in Broward County of emergency services to homeless people. And there's a lot of, you know, I mean, when you start to do the right thing, people get behind it.
What I'm saying, though, is
with solutions, and all you've got is problems, then people are obviously going to be scared.
Sure. Well, what I'm telling you, though, what I'm saying is, it seemed to me that the impetus for this was a civil rights decision by a federal court. That is to say,
also, I mean, the impetus actually started before the court. It started when somebody said, homeless people are human beings,
right,
who need to be treated the same way I would like to be treated. Once you make that mental shift in your mind in the community, and you've got some leaders in the community who will do that, and you've got some both business and elected officials and general populace that will agree that a homeless person is a human being that deserves the same kind of treatment I would want myself, then you have the shaping of a mentality which will begin to put together the kind of resources that will reduce the number of homeless people in your community.
I don't want to sound cynical, but it seems to me this only happened when Judge Atkins said...
Well, we've never had a ruling in Broward County, and it's happening here.
Right, but I mean, it certainly only happened in Dade County when that went on, right? I mean, that was the impetus there.
I don't know, you know, I mean, we're talking chicken and egg here. I mean, somebody had to decide that homeless people deserved a class action suit.
Well, I got to tell you that yours is
of a mentality that says homeless people are beings the same as you or I.
Yours is the only
But they're doing lawsuits for somebody else.
Sure, but yours is the only jurisdiction in the country, unfortunately, at this time, where that is the case that I'm aware of.
Well, except that was a federal. I think that was a federal court, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And so, I mean,
that affects all of us, really.
What's that?
That affects the whole country.
Well, in a certain sense, but it only is binding precedent where you are.
Right, I know.
And therefore, we should affect it as here.
Well, then, you know, sort of somebody needs to say homeless people are individual humans that need to be treated like I'd like to be treated.
Definitely.
Let's initiate a lawsuit here.
Well, what is coming up today?
Hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Some people do the right thing for the wrong reasons.
Sure.
Still doing the right thing.
Well, here's what we're looking for today. We have three council members examining a law which they're considering changing, because we have a situation where 500 to 1,500 homeless people, are essentially
penalized.
Well, at least 80% of them are penalized for sleeping outside, because there's no shelter for the rest of them. And, who knows, some of them might not go to shelter anyway, but that is the real point, is that given that there is no shelter, they shouldn't be arrested for sleeping and life-sustaining activities. But we need to persuade the community, if we are fairly persuading them, and I want you to be honest about this, because I'm going to ask you to write a letter to the city council today if you can.
Okay, I don't have time today, but...
Whenever you can, or maybe give them a phone call, because they need to know that they're drawing up language...
They'll have to call me if they got a question, but...
Let me
just say this, of the three city commissioners, we had five city commissioners in Hollywood when we were dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
Three city commissioners who were reelected were all the ones that supported the siting of this center. So they got reelected. The ones that didn't weren't reelected.
Well, again, our problem is somewhat different. We aren't talking about increasing shelter facilities or centers. We're talking about, before we go any further, decriminalizing people so that they don't get arrested while we're waiting for other
people. And if that's what it takes to motivate the business community, and I understand Santa Cruz, and I haven't lived there, but there's a lot of wealth there. If it motivates the people who have money to do the right thing to get these people off the streets in a productive way, then hey, go for it.
Could we get you to write a letter about your experiences there, just a quick letter?
I've taken way too much time. I've got piles of stuff here that I have.
I understand.
So I didn't know we were going to be this long.
Let me again remind the radio audience, since we're going to go on radio with this too. We're talking to...
Alan Reeser.
And Alan, you are...
Director of Broward Outreach Center in Hollywood, Florida.
Right.
And Dr. Reeser did end up writing a letter to City Council, but it, of course, didn't make any difference because City Council members Cron and Sugar and Mayor Byers couldn't care less what Dr. Reeser had to say. I presented them with the letter. I don't think they even read it. Again, the point of the letter and the point of calling Dr. Reeser in Hollywood, Florida, was to call an area of the country where for 4 or 5 years it has been legal for people to sleep outside, and to ask, has this resulted in an increase in the number of homeless people there? Was Mayor Mike Rodkin right when he told us 2 years ago that homeless people would flock to Santa Cruz by the millions? I think he said 10 million homeless people would come to Santa Cruz. Certainly an exaggeration, but would there be a significant increase? And what we heard from Dr. Reeser, what we heard from the head of the ACLU in Miami, what we heard from Legal Aid, and we hope we played that interview earlier in Broward County. Well, what I heard from Eugene in an interview, which I don't have time to play, and what I heard from the mayor today, who said she spoke to the mayor of Santa Barbara, was there was no increase in the number of homeless people. So the magnet theory is bunk, as in fact a lot of us have believed for a long time. So that's no basis for believing that you should criminalize poor people. What is the basis for believing that people should be criminalized for sleeping outside? We wanted the answer to that question in the last three task force sessions. We wanted Mayor Byers to explain to us just exactly why she was coming down on the side of bigotry, because that's what it is, I'm sorry, coming down on the side of repression, coming down on the side of criminalizing the poor, coming down on the side of doing nothing while evil is flourishing, where evil is the treatment of human beings like objects and like second-class, third-class citizens. How can this be? What is her rationale? And more important to us, because other people have been elected more recently than she, Cron and Sugar and Fitzmaurice, what is the rationale of the majority of that task force for accepting, without any kind of protest, this decision by Byers as though it were holy writ? We couldn't get any answer from them. We couldn't even get it on the agenda. I mean, Byers was even placed in the position where she lied about it. She told me on Monday that she would put it on the agenda on Thursday. And then she called me back half an hour before the meeting and said, oh, it's not going to be on the agenda. You misunderstood me. So we have a sad spectacle here, because I don't really like to be in a position to criticize all these people all the time. I would love to be able to say, good job, Catherine Byers. Good job, Sugar. good job, Fitzmaurice and Crone, but it ain't going to happen, it looks like. It's becoming really clear that we need to say bad job, loudly and clearly and specifically, wherever we go, wherever these people appear for their coffee clatches.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I'd like to say to the council members on the task force, feeble, feeble job, pathetic, lack of courage, real chicken shit. I'd like to say that on the air to them right now, so you don't have to be the only one saying it, Robert.
Thank you, David.
But I'll tell you, just the same, when push comes to shove, you know, we got to go after the Chamber of Commerce if we're going to get anything moved.
No problem with that.
This is a money town. This is a class issue, if I ever heard one. Mm-hmm. This is a class issue. We go after the Chamber of Commerce. And you know what? That fascist that's the head of the Chamber of Commerce, he's speaking not for all the members of the Chamber of Commerce, and he's pretending to do so. And he needs to be called to vote by his own members.
Well, hey, you organize, I will join you.
Okie dokie.
Thank you, David.
Bye.
Now, I've always said that the way to get the sleeping ban changed is to show up in massive numbers downtown over a period of weeks during the day, let's say sleeping on top of your own car, with big signs in the window, marching up and down with signs, until the businesses get sufficiently embarrassed that they establish safe sleeping zones somewhere in the city. But I can't seem to get enough people interested in that. Perhaps I will in the days ahead. If you're interested in doing any organizing around this issue, do give a call off-air to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And if you want to help David Silva of the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban and his campaign to wake up the business community, find the progressive businesses, and blackball the Chamber of Commerce bigoted element, you can give a call to David call me at the Huff line, and I will pass on your calls to him. That's only one number for you to remember, 423-4833-423-HUFF. We're going to be going into the last 10 minutes of the show now, and I was going to play you a bit from the task force meeting. The trouble is, it's an hour long. A lot of people said a lot of good things. I didn't get back in time to do any really good editing. So I think what I'm going to do instead is do a little reading to you from some other items, kind of keep you up to date on what else is happening. It's not just Byers, Crone, and Sugar doing their little, their task force meeting that was, you know, I've repeated endlessly, is a sellout, and we know it's a sellout. Now the question is, what can we do ourselves? And again, it's to organize, it's to join the kinds of protests that will be happening on Monday with the giant puppets at 11:30 in front of New Leaf Market. It's to prepare for a massive protest downtown, to go to the 2 p.m. protest on Sunday in front of New Leaf. That's happening also, assuming it doesn't get rained out. I want to mention what a little interesting thing that happened to me in court recently. I was wandering through the basement checking out the number of camping tickets, since we're assured that nobody gets camping tickets anymore, nobody gets sleeping ban tickets, nobody gets tickets under any of these citations that criminalize homeless people. Well, I found five of them on one calendar in one day in the basement of referee John Meat Grinder Mulligan, as I call him. He's the little kind of cash and carry meat on the hoof character who essentially makes you pay to live in Santa Cruz, and he's got his cash register with him. I went in there just sort of check out what was happening. I ran into a homeless woman who later came to city council that night. It was a Tuesday that I went in there. That was actually day before yesterday. And she showed me some camping, I call them camping tickets because it's the camping law, but the sections she was cited under were the sleeping sections. They weren't setting up a campsite. So we have to call them sleeping ban tickets. And she wanted to know what to do. And I said, well, plead not guilty and go to a judge trial. You can't get a jury trial for an infraction. You should have disqualified this guy before you started. And that's my advice to you. If you get a ticket, please disqualify Mulligan immediately. You might try saying first that you do not stipulate to a referee, because that's what he is. He's officially called a referee. You want instead a judge. And if they don't accept that, then disqualify him on the basis of your one disqualification. If you have any questions about this, please give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Because some of the wiser people in our community, like Sandy Brown, who didn't bother to come to this task force meeting today, told me that she was going to spend her energy helping people to learn the necessity defense, which is now a defense that homeless people can use if they're charged with sleeping ban offenses, which means you can say, yes, I did. I slept illegally. I violated the law, but I was trying to avoid a greater evil, that of what happens when you have no legal place to sleep, and that is a greater evil. And that has been ruled as a legitimate defense in what's called the ICORN decision. And so my hope is that those people who start getting these tickets, or who have these tickets already, now begin to flood the courts with that defense. Because I think that that defense will force Santa Cruz to take a second look at its law. If you want to help this effort, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. In Mulligan's court, as I was saying before, I was watching Mulligan as he proceeded to... I told the woman, yeah, plead not guilty, and also there's a looks like a failure to appear on your ticket. And a failure to appear is a special code violation, and it's called 853.7. And 853.7 of the state penal code is a violation that essentially says that you willfully fail to appear. Any person who willfully violates his written promise to appear in court is guilty of a misdemeanor, regardless of the disposition of the charge upon which he was originally arrested. What this means is that you are entitled to a jury trial, because misdemeanors entitle you to a public defender in a jury trial. We're going to go to this caller.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Yushan Nikoff from Walker & Associates Research Company.
You're calling a radio station.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Talk to you later.
Boy, everybody is calling today. Anyway, what the point of a misdemeanor is, you have a right to a jury trial. Under the sleeping ban, you don't. But if you're charged with a failure to appear, you do. So I told her to say to Judge Referee Mulligan, I plead not guilty and I want a jury trial on the failure to appear. Referee Mulligan then told this woman, that is an infraction. I will not give you a jury trial. In other words, he lied to an individual in the public. He lied publicly on the record. Of course, no record was being kept because this was an infraction court. But he did what I've actually seen him do in the past, not so much recently, but in the distant past, not tell people that they have a right to a jury trial for a misdemeanor failure to appear. The reason he doesn't tell people about this, of course, is it's much easier if they plead guilty, if they say, yes, I'm guilty, and then he hooks on another $100 fine. But this is a form of judicial misconduct, and I want anyone who goes to trial in Referee Mulligan's court and is told that she or he cannot have a jury trial for a misdemeanor to call me and to file a complaint against this individual who is masquerading as a judicial official, because he deserves to be unseated. In fact, he probably deserves to be prosecuted, because I suspect he has produced many, many problems and abuses for many, many people in the last decade through sitting his, I've got to say, fat ass on the bench. And I'm sorry to be so graphic, but I really feel enraged that we allow this kind of individual to be sitting on the bench and abusing the public trust in this fashion. So, that's John Mulligan. If you have, first of all, disqualifying before you even start, all you have to do is go to the clerks in the basement of the county building and say, I don't want this man to hear my case. And you actually should be able to say, I don't stipulate to him, but if that doesn't work, just say, I disqualify him. Finally, a little bit of reading before we go out on some music. This was given to me by Joel Kappa, who's one of the hounds of, who hounds Art Danner and the other, what would we call them? Pigs at the public trough, individuals who make huge salaries and whose conduct is essentially really abusive. Pigs actually aren't abusive to people. I hate vilifying barnyard animals. Let us just say individuals who use the legal system to criminalize a lot of people who don't need to be criminalized, shouldn't be criminalized, whose lives are ruined. Anyway, here's an interesting little story that I got from Joel Kappa. And it's a letter from a Madison paper called the Madison Isthmus, a weekly. After following your stories on the Madison Police Department's secret citizen complaint process for some months now, the light finally went on. All I have to do is send the following notice to the Madison PD. Please be advised that should you have any reason to believe that I may have violated any law, contravened any applicable rule or regulation, or transgressed any of the recognized tenets of common decency, you may forward to my office a grievance using forms of my own design, setting forth your complaint under oath, and providing me with all the facts known to you, together with the names, addresses, and phone numbers of everyone involved. Upon receipt of your grievance, I'll talk to my friends, neighbors, and co-workers about it and make such other investigation as I may feel is necessary, if any. When my investigation is complete, which may take several months, I'll give the matter all the deliberation I think it deserves and then make a decision if I've done anything wrong. In the unlikely event that your grievance is sustained, I'll select an appropriate disciplinary action to impose upon myself. While your complaint against me is under investigation, don't bother me with phone calls or officers coming around to the house, and when I've concluded my investigation, don't bother to ask me who I talked to, what investigation I made, what the decision was, or what disciplinary action I've directed myself to undergo. Everything I do is confidential, but it's for your own good. Be further advised that this policy will be reevaluated if the police department's esteemed chief should ever come to realize that the people of this city are his employers to whom he is responsible and not his subjects. Until that time, don't bother me. That's a letter from James Hill in the Madison Isthmus of February 2nd, 1996. Well, we're coming up on the end of the hour. I want to thank you for all your phone calls, and please join me again on Sunday at 11 o'clock on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 in the morning. We have a 2.5-hour show, and if you have something you want on the air for Free Radio, you can give the voicemail a call at 427-4523. Free Radio does public service announcements. If you want to help end the sleeping ban, give a call to the City Council at 420-5020, then dial 1, say end the sleeping ban. Or if you want to talk to me off air, here's the last number, dial 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Thanks for being with me, and join me again.
It's time to decide, but it should mean it's not the time, but just the dreams that die.
And sometimes when the room is still, time is so much truth to give,
leaves you by the windowsill sometimes.
Without a way,
without a way, to take you high,
without a clue,
without a clue, tell you why. Now I just want to keep my name, not bother anybody's game, without ideas of golden fame.
I don't know, ain't been told, everybody wants a hand. and the 96.3 FM Earth First Radio. I am not Uncle Dennis. I have no knowledge of Uncle Dennis's whereabouts. I'm your guest host, Phil Free, for tonight's Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise, no compromise in defense of Mother Earth. Earth first. Strip mining mountains by the ton, digging up the uranium. Baldy, you're looking for a place to
welcome
land.
To Earth First Radio. I'm your guest host, Phil Free. Every week we bring to you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. Here are some of today's headlines. Epic sues for the coho salmon. No tax break for Charles Hurwitz. Sham eco-certification. Forest policy in Tennessee lacks teeth. And stemming the tide of chip mills. In these stories, you will hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers that I will hopefully include, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper, hopefully, to write down the information upon it. This is not, I want to tell you right now, couch potato radio, especially for those of you that can't even afford a couch. This is not couch potato radio, it's activist radio, active radio. I urge you right now to take the information and act on it. At the very least, you're inside, you can still do something to save the planet. You really can make a difference by writing letters, in some cases, sending faxes, making phone calls. When you aren't in the woods,